And of course, this is it. That's going to be our final hour of open lines here for you on Coast to Coast AM. So get ready to make the call and let your fingers do the walking. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. By the way, get over to our website. Look at the calendar. My last speaking engagement of the year in Minneapolis, Saturday morning. This Saturday morning. So I'll be popping on a plane, going out to the Paradigm Conference. Ian Punnett is hosting a special panel there, and I'm going to be one of his many guests on that panel. Plus, we'll be doing our traditional meet and greets out there as well. Love Minneapolis. It's a great town. But go to our website, and you can get full details on my event there. So let's go to the phones. Let's go to Michelle, Inglewood, Ohio. Michelle, welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm a little tired, but I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm okay. Keep pushing yourself, and don't fall asleep driving.
Yeah, no, I won't. I have a choking story for you. It's kind of a choking story and also why a people won't help other people story.
Okay.
When my oldest son, who's almost 18 now, was 2 years old, he was choking on a hot dog, and I didn't know what to do. I was freaking out. And so I dialed 911, and the 911 dispatcher was walking me through how to dislodge the hot dog, and I had him up by his feet as much as I could. He was kind of a kid.
Yeah.
And was pounding on his back, and she had sent the ambulance, and I got the hot dog out, and of course, my son started screaming, and I went to the door and let the ambulance people in, and they took him to the hospital, and while we were at the hospital, they had done x-rays of his chest, and I had cracked one of his ribs as I was pounding on his back.
Oh, my gosh.
And
yeah.
I'm glad he's okay, but the hospital, of course, then notified Child Protective Services.
Oh.
Child Protective Services had to come and investigate my home and make sure it was child safe and make sure that he had no other type of injury, that it wasn't an abuse situation.
Right.
And it freaked me out. This was, at the time, was my only child. And I was a new mom. I was 22, and I was scared to death that they were going to take my child away, because I have saved his life from choking on a hot dog.
Oh, my God. Yeah, not only are you going through the trauma of maybe losing him by choking to death, then they come and chase you on that. Unbelievable.
That's right. But I think that's why so many people are scared to help in those type of situations, because they're afraid of getting in trouble or afraid of being sued should something, you know, bad happen in the event that, you know, while they're trying to help.
That could be one of the reasons. You know, I would... personally, I don't care. You know, if I do something wrong in the process of trying to help someone, so be it. But to me, intent is very important there. I assume when this was happening, Michelle, you didn't have any witnesses, did you?
No, I was home alone with my son.
Yeah. Well, you did the right thing.
I know I did, and I know that I intentionally hurt him. And I was guilt-racked, first of all, for hurting him, and then I had CPS there. It's killing me.
Well, you know, you didn't know. You didn't know how much pressure to apply.
No, I didn't. And I was kind of in a state of panic. That didn't help either. So.
No, it didn't. Well, I'm glad it all eventually worked out for you.
I did, too. And you have a wonderful show, and it keeps me up all night, which is great because I work at night. So I just want to thank you very much for your show.
You are very welcome. And you're in the Eastern time zone out there, so it's 4:13 in the wee hours. Let's go to Henning, truck driving in Ohio. Henning, welcome back. How are you?
I'm good, George, and how are you tonight?
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you for answering my call. I have a question for you. Have you had time to look at the sinkhole LA and Gulf oil spill I presented to you? I sent you a mail, actually, to your entire staff to make sure someone saw it, because this is a very, very urgent topic.
Explain the topic. I haven't seen it myself. I'll check with the staff to see if they saw it. Tell us a little bit about it.
You know about the Gulf oil spill in 2010 on the 20th of April?
Yes.
I believe that oil spill was staged. These pictures we have been seeing on the so-called seafloor has all been studio recordings. And I can
unless I'm going through deja vu, weren't you just on telling me this last week?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought so. I absolutely thought I was going through a deja vu episode. Okay. So you're really only allowed to get on once a month. And if you sneak in like you got through, change the topic so I won't catch you. But send me the email again and make sure that the staff gets it as well. I did not see what you sent us last week. David in Mason, West Virginia. Go ahead, David. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, George. Just want to say I love the show, and it keeps me up through the nights when I'm working midnight state.
We keep about a third of the world's population up at night. Can you believe that? That's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's a really good show. I mean, I never heard anything like it.
And you are coming through loud and clear.
Oh, that's good. I want to talk about what you were talking about, shadow people and how they're more afraid of us than we are them.
Sure.
I don't know if this is a shadow person or not, but like a few years ago, I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I couldn't move. Well, I read about it and said it was sleep paralysis. And just after I read about that, it happened more. And sorry, every time I talk about this, it freaks me out. There was this figure in the corner of my room. It was like cloaked in black. And for about a week, it was there, and it kept moving closer. And then on the last night, it moved straight to my face, and I was just petrified and freezing and scared to death. And then it just disappeared, and I could move, and it never happened again. I was just wanting to know your take on that, what you thought it was, and I'll take my answer off the air.
Well, first of all, who knows what it might have been? Who knows? Again, part of my theory is that we're dealing with different parallel realities, universes, dimensions, call them whatever you want, and that these creatures, these entities are somehow overlapping, right? Just like the old thing where we put our hands together and did a little church thing. Remember that when we were kids? They're overlapping, and that's what's beginning to happen. It's strange and it's scary, but I really don't think anybody's ever been attacked by a shadow person. Tom is in Sacramento, California. Tom, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Morning, Mr. Norrie. Thanks for being there for us.
Always.
I just wanted to say two quick things. No matter what this presidential thing comes down to, I still ask myself, out of the billions of people on the planet, why, I was born in America in this day and age, and what do I owe the powers that be somewhere in time for this special opportunity? Just to, I was born in 1951. It's been a wonderful life. But I'm just, the government, they got weapons that would amaze us that they could use against us. Okay, and then the second thing, since they're after our DNA, and they seem to be after our cell phones now with these machines and whatnot, I was just curious to wonder if they could get our DNA from our speaker on our cell phone.
Who knows? That's a little piece of skin, maybe?
I don't know.
You never know. I think one day they're going to want to document everybody's DNA and keep it in some bank somewhere. And I don't mean a money bank, but a bank of DNA. They just want to keep it away. Let's go to Olean, New York. Joe's with us. Joe, welcome to the show. Go ahead, Joseph.
Hey, Joe or George. Really enjoy your show, man. I had a story about choking. If you wanted to hear it, so
I sure do. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I was driving an escort vehicle for oversized truckloads at the time, and I had taken the load down to Texas from up in Ohio. I was coming back up. I was in Kentucky. And I forget which highway, but I was right behind the semi-truck, and a car went flying past me and, passing me in the truck. And I pulled out to pass the truck, and I didn't even realize it at the time, but I didn't see the car in front of me. And as I nosed in front of the truck, the car was nowhere to be seen, and suddenly I saw him leaving the car, leaving the ground. He'd gone off, veered off the highway, went up a bank, and seriously just ramped and flew. I went back and measured the tracks later. He was in the air for 20 yards, came down, landed perfectly, and just kept driving straight. It was crazy. It was like he had tried to do it.
Like a movie.
Yeah, it was nuts. I'd never seen anything like it in real life. So anyways, he goes straight, and he ends up underneath the fence. The fence had kind of turned up sideways and was laying flat on top of his car when he stopped. I, of course, pulled over to the side and went running up there, and the truck driver, he pulled over behind me, and he's running up. And we get up, both of us get up to the car, and the driver's sitting there perfectly fine looking at us with this look of bewilderment on his face. And he rolls the window down, and he's like, "What happened?" And we're like, "Well, you know, we were going to ask you the same thing." And he said, "Well, I was eating a Snickers bar, and he started choking on a peanut." And apparently he passed out, and when he ramped and came, the car landed, it must have dislodged it, and he woke back up.
Talk about luck, huh?
Yeah, it was absolutely nuts. And to make the story a little bit more interesting, it was his first day on a brand new job in a company vehicle. Him and his wife had left. They had moved two states away so he could take this job.
That's a miracle.
A company vehicle and jumped it like 20 yards in the air.
That is a miracle. Joe, thanks for that story. Let's go next to Gordonville, Virginia. James is waiting. There you go, James. Take it away.
Mr. Norrie, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I listened to with your interview with Alex Jones and the whole conversation about the emasculation, basically, of the American spirit as far as not getting involved, you know, talking about a woman choking and a restaurant full of people just watching and Mr. Jones, you know, trying to intervene, people saying, no, you know. Well, there is a second side to that coin, and that is the potential risk that one exposes oneself to if you do intervene. Many years ago, I live in Pennsylvania. I'm actually a truck driver right now.
Okay.
But I was coming home. I live out way out in the woods, and I came upon an accident scene. And one particular vehicle was it found an oak tree, and the carnage was horrific. The woman was carrying a child on her lap, and she went into the dashboard, as you would expect. And when I came upon her, she was screaming out, my baby. Well, the baby was gone. The husband, he ate the steering wheel, crushed all the ribs on his, you know, on his left side, and punctured his lung. And he had also crushed his throat. I was just recently retired military. I had 32 years. I went in as an airman, basically retired lieutenant colonel, and I was a combat controller. And as a combat controller, I was also trained as a PK, a parajumper. The man was dying right in front of my eyes, but I could save him, and I did. And I had to do a tracheotomy on him. And amazingly, you know, one of the favors of a tracheotomy a lot of times is the tube goes down the esophagus.
Right. It sounds like you knew exactly what to do.
I knew exactly what to do because if you stop and think about it, a hard traffic accident is very similar to a battlefield injury. You're talking about traumatic injuries, punctures, you know, eviscerations, that kind of thing. I got the tube into the proper bronchi, and I sealed it up, and then I went and punctured his chest cavity to release the pressure from the air that had been blowing in from the wounded lung. Right in front of my eyes, I saw the man change. I mean, you can see the colors on his lips, everything changed. Saved his life. 8 months later, that man sued me.
For what?
Well, because and you may or may not know this, but the trachea is very susceptible to infection. And because of what I did, he developed a very bad infection, and some lawyer talked him into suing me because I had a bit of money. It cost me over $80,000 to defend against that.
Did your insurance company also pay up or what?
No, my insurance company wouldn't pay for something like that because I was not involved in the accident. And the Good Samaritan laws would not cover me because I was a licensed paramedic. So, I, you know, from that point on, and that's a tragic point of this, differences that I resolve, unless I know the person, I do not stop and help unless there's a child involved. I will risk everything for a child. But I come across accident scenes, I'm the man that you want in a situation like that until the authorities get there.
That's right.
I keep on going.
You do keep going this time.
I keep going because...
Do you call it in?
Pardon?
Do you call it in? Do you say, hey, I'll call it in.
I'll pick up the phone, and I've done that many times. But I am forced into the dilemma of risking everything that I have worked my entire life for. And I know that 95% of the people would not. They would be very thankful that, hey, I got an infection, but I get to grow up and see my kids grow up and see my grandkids grow up. But there's that 5% that will destroy you.
Well, you're right about that, and I can understand why people are reluctant. But you know what? To me, you've got to weigh what's more important, saving a life, trying to save a life, or worrying about the ramifications later. But I hear you. And society would apt to probably turn around and go the other way. John is in Millbrook, Alabama. Hey, John, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Norris, for taking my call this evening. I'm calling about the shadow persons that your emailer earlier tonight and then the caller after him about whether or not to be afraid of these things. To make a long story short, I've been dealing with one since I was about 10 or 11 years old, been seeing it off and on. The thing with it is every time that I've seen it, and it's been you know, very clear, usually I'll wake up and turn around and he'll be standing there, we'll be standing there, but I've never been afraid, never had a sense of dread about it or anything like that. As a matter of fact, it's always preceded something, you know, like a warning of either an accident or something traumatic, sort of giving me a heads up to, you know, call my family or make sure that everybody's okay. So I agree with you when you say that it's not necessarily something to be afraid of, but, you know, something that I think, you know, your callers, you know, absolutely should document it, write it down. And then, you know, maybe check on their family afterwards too, or, you know, say, hey, make sure everybody's okay and everything's good. But yeah, like I said, I've been dealing with it since I was about 10 years old, but never had any kind of sense of dread or fear of it at all.
Good for you. And good advice too, by the way, John, thank you so much. Time for one more quick call. Maybe Anthony in Portland. Let's give it a try. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, George, how are you doing today, sir?
Good, Anthony. Good.
I wanted to respond to that other Anthony who was calling out of Washington, the truck driver. He's talking about the Russian helicopter that flew over his head.
Yeah, that he thought was given to the Chinese. What do you think?
I have a little bit of information about that. That's actually a joint task force with FEMA and Chinese, some delegates of the Chinese military under, like, NATO.
Okay.
Some task force. I don't know. That's just what I read. But it is crazy. I would definitely invest in precious metals, and I'm not talking gold or silver. I'm talking, you know, iron, lead, and brass, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. You're ready, aren't you?
Hey, I am. And I don't know if you remember, I called last Friday. We talked a little bit about our military backgrounds, and I told you.
I remember that. And don't forget, folks, you only get one call every 30 days, everybody. Don't forget. We're going to come back in a moment. More to come on Coast to Coast AM. On our Saturday night program, John B. Wells will play host with Gerald Celente, his special guest, talking about trends and what's going to happen in the future. Then on Sunday, George Knapp talks about how to live 100 years without getting old. And I'll be back with your final calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. All right, this is our final segment of Open Lines here. Let's go to Angel in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Welcome to the program. Hi, Angel.
Oh, hello, George. How are you doing today?
Okay. I'm having a good day, a long day, traveling from L.A. to St. Louis, and I've got to get on a plane in the morning and go to Minneapolis, but I'm okay.
Oh, that's great, George. Nice to hear that. That's my first time calling, but I would like to send a prayer request for my grandfather. He has prostate cancer, and, you know, he just got out of radiation.
All right. Consider it done.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Well, I have a story here to tell you that one night I was sleeping in my room, and my brother-in-law were sleeping over under the basement, and I got stuck to my bed.
What do you mean you got stuck to the bed? Like glue?
Like, yep, exactly. Just like glue, George. I couldn't believe it. I was like, am I dreaming this? But I wasn't. Like, I'm laying on my bed, and my hands and my eyes and my mouth couldn't even open them. They were just stuck as if I was paralyzed.
Sleep paralysis. It happens.
I know, man. I know. And I can't believe it. You know, I'm just sitting there, and I'm trying to open my mouth. I'm trying to move my hands. I'm trying to move my legs. I'm trying to call for help. But my mouth, and I couldn't even call for help. I just couldn't. I just couldn't. Everybody's sleeping, and it's dark in my room. I'm just, like, going crazy. It makes everything worse. It's like everything's closing in on me. I'm like, oh, my gosh, is this really happening? It's crazy. And then all of a sudden, these shadow people start appearing in my room. And I'm like, I could feel, like, everything is dark around the room. As everything starts closing in, I'm wondering, oh, my gosh, what is going on? Am I going crazy in here? I'm like, there's something weird going on, you know? It's just, something just happens out of the ordinary, you know?
Well, look, I'm glad you're okay. Shadow people aren't going to hurt you. I've never heard of a story yet where they do. We'll go to Ferguson, Missouri. Gene's with us. Hey, Gene, good morning. Gene? Gene is no longer with us. Let's go to Kirk. Truck driving in Missouri, though. Kirk, go ahead.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good. I'm glad you're there.
Hey, I'm one person that's awake in Missouri. That's good. Thanks. I'm trying to keep the white lines here.
Well, actually, two. I'm in St. Louis, so that makes two of us.
There you go. Well, I'm heading your way, so. Okay. Hey, this is a choking story, but it's kind of got a weird twist to it, and if it fits anywhere, it fits into this program. So this was about 6 or 7 years ago, and I was sleeping and was abruptly woken up by someone holding my throat with their hands, choking me.
Oh, my.
And, I thought I was going to die. It scared me to death, and I couldn't. There wasn't anybody there, and I woke up, and I don't know if this was some form of sleep paralysis or what, but nothing like this has ever happened before. And I was trying to just grab my neck and see if I could release something and breathe. And then I just slowly started fading out. And then I woke up. So I'm sitting there in my bed freaking out that I just had this realistic dream that I was being choked to death. And then it happened again, George. And I'm not kidding you. Oh my God. I thought for sure I was going to die. I didn't know what was going on. I fell out of the bed and then I really woke up. So it was a dream within a dream of me being choked. And when I was really awake, I slapped myself so hard, I about fell out of the bed. And,
what a horrible dream, though.
That's when I realized I was really awake, and it really disturbed me for a long time. And I couldn't go back to sleep after that, and I went straight outside and just walked around trying to breathe it off. But, I mean, I don't know what it – I don't know if it was a form of sleep paralysis or if it was something demonic or – I don't know, but it's creeped me out to this day, and – Oh.
Well, let me tell you, the next time Rosemary Ellen Guiley is with us, she's our dream interpreter. I'm going to ask her about that. What does choking in a dream mean? Let's go to Nathan, first-time caller in Pensacola. Nathan, go ahead.
Hey, George, this is Nathan. I guess I met you a little over a year ago at Paracon.
That's right. Down there. I had a great time there.
Yeah, I was a tall guy with a big beard, and I had a short girlfriend with big eyes. I don't know if you remember us. But
she looked like the hybrid, right?
Maybe a little bit. I don't know. I have a shadow person kind of experience also. Sorry if I'm a little bit, you know, coming off a little bit nervous. It's kind of one of the first times I've ever actually really talked about it.
Oh, okay.
But about 10 years ago, I woke up in the middle of the night, and the room that I was staying in at my parents' house had no windows whatsoever. It was in the middle of the house, and it was awesome for sleep, but it was one of those things where, like, you didn't know what time of day it was or whatever. Anyways, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I couldn't move. My heart was racing, and it was one of those things where it was, like, you know, blacker than black. I just saw, like, this figure, you know, coming from the corner ceiling of my room, like, right down the wall. and like right underneath like my bed, and I couldn't move. Heart was pounding. It was terrifying. And it was like everything I had in me to just move or like get up or wake up or whatever. But it was one of those things, I guess I kind of like got a little bit of movement and sat up a little bit, and I felt this being or whatever it was like pull on the side of my bed and look up at me.
And you see, so this is something's got to be going on with people, because we're getting too many of these calls from people who have had these entities doing these very strange, bizarre things to them. It truly is. Let's take a few more calls here. Carrie is in Virginia. Hey, Carrie, welcome to the show.
Hi, George. Hey. It was Thanksgiving. I was about 9 or 10, and I started to choke, and no one noticed until my grandpa did. He brought me outside and whacked me on the back 3 times, and it couldn't dislodge it, and then grabbed me by my ankles, hung me upside down, and pounded really hard. Out came the piece of turkey along with some blood. So it was really stuck in my throat.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you, grandfather, right?
Oh, yes. He was a Marine, so he had a punch, let me tell you. But I'll tell you, just be very careful giving the legs to young ones, because it can be chewy, you know?
Yeah.
So.
All right. You got it. It's almost that time of year again, isn't it? Let's go to Mike in Ventura, California. Hey, Mike, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, George. How are you doing today?
Good, Michael. Thank you.
Good. Your day's almost done.
It continues, believe it or not. It's off to Minneapolis for an event, and then I travel on Sunday, and then I'm back on the air Monday. So it's a 12-day.
I quite understand. I put in 80-hour weeks myself all the time, but it happens, and it goes on.
You got to do it.
Yeah, that's it. Got to keep it going. About 16 years ago, my wife and I and our son were eating at a local restaurant when we lived in Ohio. And my son went up to get some Jell-O from the local bar, and no idea that there was a banana in it. And it automatically started choking.
Oh.
Not a sound coming out of him. It was that lodged in him.
Scariest thing in the world when you see that,
yeah,
isn't it?
Especially something like that. My wife jumped up, started screaming. People started running over. I just reached out, put one hand behind his back, put my other hand on his stomach, gave him about 3 great big pushes, and out of pop flew across the table.
I can't watch my son's little girl eat. She's 1 year old, and it just freaks me out. You know, because I know what it's like as an adult to choke. These little kids, they don't know anything. They're just chomping away. And it's scary, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they don't pay any attention.
No, not at all.
Hey, it's enough to keep you awake at night.
Yeah, it sure is. Tom's got a text for us back in the L.A. studios. Tom, what do you got for us?
Hey, George, from Carol in Baton Rouge. George, great show. Wanted to know if you believe in an afterlife. Where do we go?
Oh, I do. Now, as I've said, I have gone through moments where I doubt the possibility that there's life after death, but not anymore. And I'm convinced, like the neurosurgeon who's going to be on the program, who died of meningitis, and he came back, that there's something there. It's grand. It's probably various dimensions, but I think it's part of our existence.
What changed that makes you believe now?
That's a great question. I think one of the major reasons I changed is because to think otherwise is very, very lonely, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? But it's just interesting to me that you didn't believe it, and then it's like something snapped.
Well, I had my doubts. It's not that I didn't believe it.
But now you have no doubts.
I could be wrong, but I don't have any doubts.
Right. So something changed in your belief pattern. That's what's interesting to me.
Yeah, that can be. I've got a Skype caller. Where's he calling from, Tom?
The Skype caller is calling from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Let's take him. William, you're on the air with us. Go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Thank you. Go ahead.
I just thought I'd tell you a quick story about when I was younger. There was an incident where my friends and I were at the playground, and we saw a big craft in the sky. And, you know, that's strange enough. But what's even stranger is a few nights later, we went back there because we wanted to, you know, try to see it again. And this couple of guys were there.
Like military people?
I'm not sure what they were exactly, but from what I could tell, you know, they were up to no good. You know, you just get this feeling. And they approached us, and they started interrogating us about what we saw, you know.
Now, was the craft there again that night?
No, we had just gone back out of curiosity.
So just these guys were there.
And they were waiting there for us, and they started interrogating us, and they started getting very aggressive. And one of them started physically assaulting me. They beat me.
They beat you?
Yeah, they roughed me up pretty bad, yeah. And I did manage to get away. And we all ran separate directions. We all ran to our respective homes. And once I got home, of course, you know, my mother thought I'd been in a fight. And she got scared and said, "You're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel Air."
She wanted you out of the area. She wanted you out of the area, didn't she? Whatever happened to you? Let's go to Gene and Ferguson. I've got a couple quick seconds for you, Gene. Go ahead.
George, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, Gene. Thanks.
I've been a long-time listener, over 20 years.
Oh, thank you.
And I love that they brought you from St. Louis.
They sure did.
California to take over, because I loved you as the Night Hawk in St. Louis.
I loved that show. I had a great time doing that.
And we had a great time listening to you. It was awesome, you going straight into Art Bell. The reason I called tonight is about choking. I have a rare condition called achalasia.
Now, what is that?
That's where the bottom of the esophagus, the rings that are down there, they don't move properly to push the food down into your stomach.
How do you swallow, Gene?
So basically you wind up choking, and I'm asthmatic. So when the air starts shutting off, I start to panic.
I mean, what triggers it?
It can be anything. There is no specific trigger. The only real surgery that they can do to try to correct it is to cut the end of your esophagus.
Oh my gosh.
So that the food is able to go down more easily, because it happens with food and with liquid.
How do you eat?
Very carefully.
Well, I guess you got to. Hey, Gene, you take care. We're at the top of the hour already, and of course, what's a Friday night into a Saturday morning without a dear friend of ours? This given to us many, many years ago. So it's kind of a tradition on just Friday nights to always wrap things up with our dear friend. I love him. He's from the high hills of somewhere. Very clever guy, and he loves this song. It's UFO Phil.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware, but now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. even while you sleep. You got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening.
For Dan Colanti, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everybody.